Welcome, welcome. People just coming in. Hi, welcome. So good to see you. Cool. All right, welcome to our workshop today on real self-care. This call is being recorded, but it's just recording me. The chat's open, so please feel free to hop in there at any point if you want to contribute. I'm just going to give it a moment or two to see if anybody else is joining us today. If you are, oh, no worries, Livette, thanks for letting me know. If you are watching on the recording, and we haven't met before, then hi, I'm Lisa. I'm one of the support coaches in Self Belief School. I look after some of the circles and some of the coaching calls, and self-care is one of my specialist subjects because I coach with women and mothers who are really in need of taking care of themselves, getting a stronger sense of themselves again. And so this is a topic that comes up a lot and is really close to my heart. Particularly because I haven't always been that good at it myself, right? We tend to come to the things that we've needed to learn. So I think we'll kick off and see if anybody joins us along the way. I wanted to just invite you to take a moment to land. We always do this in the calls that I host. Whatever your day has been like so far, whatever's going on around you, just wanted to invite you to take a moment. Maybe you want to let your eyes soften or close your eyes for a moment. Maybe you feel like you want to place your hand either over your heart or on your belly or somewhere on you. Just see if you can take a slightly deeper breath than you've taken all day so far. Just letting yourself settle. Maybe feeling your feet on the ground. Feeling your chair supporting you. Just noticing what's present for you as you arrive here. Seeing if you can let it just be here. Maybe inviting yourself to be here imperfectly. It's nothing you need to do here. You've shown up for yourself. Massively acknowledging that. It's a heavy week in the world, and so you're doing extra great to be showing up for yourself today. All right. And when you're ready, take that one extra deep breath and then move in your seat, maybe rub your hands together, come back into the room. Lovely. All right. So, welcome to our workshop on real self-care. You might want to have a notebook and a pen to hand. Might be quite handy to write a few things down as we go. I'm going to be asking you some questions as we go along, so it'll be really like workshop-y. You don't have to write down everything I'm saying, just in case you want to make a note of some answers that come to you as we explore this. And yeah, my first question to you, and I wonder if you can answer me in the chat, is where are you right now on a scale of 1 to 10, where with 10 being, I've totally nailed this self-care stuff, and 1 being, there's a lot that could be done here. I could do with a whole lot more self-care. I'm really struggling to get to it. Where are you right now on a scale of 1 to 10? And if you're watching on the recording, perhaps you can answer that for yourself too. I've got a two. Thank you. Not a five. Cool. Yeah, I'd say I'm around a five or a six. Doing a lot better these days. Spent a heck of a lot of time down at one. Yeah. Cool. Well, it sounds like you're in the right place. There's room for improvement. Yeah. All right. So I'm going to share my screen for a second. I've got some slides that I want to walk through. Oh, why isn't that working? There we go. All right. So what we're going to work through today, we're going to look at what is real self-care and what isn't it. We're going to talk about how and why we meet resistance when it comes to self-care. And we're going to look at how we can take really good care of ourselves. As I said, this is a favorite subject of mine. I could probably talk to you for about 3 days on this. And I've actually coached people for many months around this. So we're not expecting any like big magic wand stuff today. This is not a workshop like a pass or fail. There's no need for us to pick up our sticks and kind of whack ourselves with how, poorly we're doing on the self-care front. This is a chance for us to just check in with how we're doing this right now. What's going on around this? Because this is a really complex and layered subject, and we don't always feel that we've got the space to work on this. And one of the reasons that we've put this workshop on is because in Self-Belief School, we are meeting a lot of we're working on a lot of our self-doubt stuff, and self-care seems to be a running theme, but it's not always at the top of the list when it comes to working on ourselves. We're often trying to work on other stuff that's I guess more tangible, that helps us to move forward with our goals. And yet I would offer that actually taking really good care of ourselves is a really good factor in supporting ourselves in striving for the life that we're trying to create for ourselves. Yeah. So what I wanted to answer first of all is, why have we called it real self-care? Why have we felt the need to add in the word real? Because, self-care is a topic that is, it's everywhere right now, right? If you go onto social media, you're tripping over posts about this, and it seems to be everywhere we look. And yet, I feel like the messages that we're getting around self-care are often really unhelpful. So the reason that we've called it real self-care is because there are a few things that it's definitely not. It's not ticking the boxes of societal norms that are formed around self-care. We live in a capitalist patriarchal society, and when we talk to people about self-care, often they're holding on to a view that there are certain things that they should be doing, that there are certain ways that they should be meeting expectations. Back in the first lockdown in the pandemic, I was part of a group, a social media group, where there was lots of parents who were all grappling with homeschooling our children. And most of the posts and everything were about that stuff, about the homeschooling stuff. And it just struck me, looking at how hard everybody was working to take care of this emergency homeschool situation. And I just kept thinking, how are the parents doing? Like, how are they actually doing? How are they taking care of themselves? And I posted a comment along the lines of, let's just remember that that part of this process is also taking care of us. Like, how are you managing to take care of yourselves? It was just like an open question. I had tons of responses. And as I read them, there were about 80 odd comments. As I read them, what struck me is how we hold this idea of self-care as something that we should be doing to meet these outside expectations, to tick these boxes. Because what people were coming back with was, I'm still doing my hair. I painted my nails today. I've been trying to get out to exercise. Diet starts tomorrow. right? And I'm not knocking any of those choices, and I'm not saying that they're not self-care. But as I read down the list, what I was seeing was a lot of things that appeared to be trying to meet an external requirement or trying to meet societal norms. And actually, you know what? Self-care really isn't about ticking those boxes, about doing the things to be presentable or youthful or fit because other people say that we should be fit. It's also not buying those products that the marketing companies want us to believe are self-care and ticking the boxes that way and still not feeling all that different on the inside, right? So real self-care for me is how it feels on the inside. It's doing the stuff that makes us feel better on the inside. So we might look at it like, how are we refilling our energy? How are we making sure that we keep filling up the tank? Yeah. Or a metaphor that I'm really liking, because we're a living, breathing thing, we're not some kind of mechanical object, right? Is the idea of this tree. If we think about this huge, solid, beautifully thriving living organism, and if you walk out of your door and you see a tree nearby, what we're really aware of is what's going on above the ground, right? We see how this tree is doing its thing, coming into leaf in the spring, putting all its energy out into its branches, producing blossom, producing fruit, providing shade, shelter, food, ultimately. We see all this we have this outward view. What we don't see is what's allowing or enabling that tree to do what it's doing. We don't see this whole picture below the ground, this really intricate root system that's drawing up all the nutrients that that tree needs, that's taking in all of the oxygen and the light, and it's doing all its chemical stuff underground in its roots to feed and sustain that tree. Yeah. And let's think about how we are in our worlds, how there's this side of us where we're giving and expending, we're fulfilling our roles, we're doing our jobs, we're feeding into our friendship groups, our families, our communities, our work. We're giving of ourselves, yeah? And how I like to think about it is, where's the root stuff? How are we replenishing? How are we filling back up? How are we nourishing and feeding ourselves? How are we feeling sustained? Because we know that if the root system of a tree isn't being fed and nourished, it's not in good soil, then it's going to wither and the tree is not going to be stable, right? And so how is this whole living, breathing organism thing working within us? How are we balancing what we're giving of ourselves and how we're replenishing what we give out? Yeah. So I'm super interested in exploring with you what's going on down here for you. What's the stuff that feeds and sustains you? Or what is the stuff that you know would feed and sustain you if only you could get near it? Yeah. So my question is, what's your root energy self-care? So you might already have things that come to mind. And I'm going to invite you to go into your notebook for a couple of minutes in a moment and make a note of, excuse me, let me just take a drink. Make a note of what are those things that feed, nourish, and sustain you. And if you're feeling like mind block, I have absolutely no idea, I would suggest they're probably things that feel nourishing. They're probably things that give you fuel on some level. They're probably the things that ground you. They're probably things that give you energy. They're probably things that make you feel full up. Things that are sustaining. Things that honour some part of you, right? Things that feel soulful, joyful, restful. So I want to just give you a couple of minutes to make some notes on, if you could be really curious and ask yourself, what are the things that I do that feed and nourish me, or that I would love to do more? What are the things I do or would love to do more of that feel all of these things? Nourishing, fueling, grounding, energizing, replenishing, sustaining, honoring, soulful, joyful, restful. I will give you a couple of minutes. All right. So hopefully you've got the beginnings of a list there. And this is one of those things that I really feel is a question that we can sit with for a while. You know, this is something that we can add to over the next few days and maybe weeks, and maybe doing some journaling on it if that's your thing. Because it's one of those questions that sometimes doesn't feel the easiest to answer. If we are in deficit of self-care, then it feels like, well, I'm so out of practice. I don't know what it is that I can reach for. I don't know what it is that does this for me right now. And when that's the case, I really offer that it can be like a bit of a treasure hunt. It needs to be almost like a noticing journey. I take my kids out on, or I used to when they were younger, on like noticing walks. We used to notice what was different, what was new. And I think sometimes we need to walk around in our own life and notice, what are those things that seem to feed and nourish me? What are the things that I'm not getting that would do that? And sometimes we have to try some things out. Sometimes we have to experiment with, what if I spend a bit of time doing this? How will this feel? Yeah. If it's something, if self-care is not something you've ever felt really in flow with, then certainly it might need to be one big lovely experiment. But whatever you've got on your list so far, I would guess that it would fit into some of the headings that I've got here. So the simplest is, are we literally fueling ourselves? Are we literally fueling ourselves in a way that feels good? Remember, this is about how it feels on the inside. And sometimes the norms that are out there are not our norms. You know how you feel most nourished and supported physically. It might be something to do with being in nature. It might be quiet alone time. There might be some stuff around being in some kind of creative process. It might be moving your body in ways that you enjoy, not in ways that you're told that you should move it, but in ways that you really enjoy. It might be some kind of spiritual practice that feels really nourishing for you. It might be physical rest, a sleep, a nap. I'm such a big champion of a nap. I read some research recently that said people that nap live longer. So that's a new belief from my belief system. Was in The Guardian as well, so it's definitely true. Social connection, if that's something that feeds you, right? Because it's not for all of us. Some of us introverted folk don't need all that much social connection, but certain types of social connection might feed you. You know, your best friend. Moments of joy, magic, pleasure, or belonging. Like sometimes I think we forget this stuff. I think we imagine that this is like a nice to have, when actually this stuff is the stuff of life. This stuff is the stuff that feeds us. It might be ritual. A client that I'm working with at the moment has recently been lighting a candle at breakfast with her daughter. And she's finding that their mornings are so much calmer as a result. They're just having this lovely little ritual, 10 minutes in the morning. And so, actually, self-care doesn't always only happen on your own. Loads of it can and does. And some of it can be the stuff that you do in the fabric of your family. And also stuff that helps you feel inspired, whatever that might be for you. And so maybe that kind of helps you to flesh out your list a little bit. Maybe that kind of sparks some thoughts for you. So what gets in the way of us having more of this good stuff, more of the time, right? The more we have on that list, the more options we build for ourselves, the more things we can reach for when we want to fill ourselves back up. But what is it that gets in the way of us having it? If you ask the majority of people, what they'll tell you is time, right? I just don't have the time. I'm so overcommitted. I'm so needed. There's always so much to do. I've got all these roles, these responsibilities. My life is really complex. I just don't get a moment. I never get to the end of the list. Yeah? It's always time. And so what I want to do is a bit of a thought experiment with you. Let's imagine, because you probably do, let's imagine that you have something coming up in the next week where you need to go somewhere, you need to do something for a couple of hours. It's going to involve you being away from the house. You're going to be out for a couple of hours doing this thing. Yeah? Perhaps name that thing for yourself. Name something you've got coming up where you're going to have to go somewhere and do something for at least a couple of hours. Imagine that by some kind of magic of the universe, when it comes to that moment where you need to leave the house to go to that thing, imagine it disappears out of your diary. Everything's fine, nothing's gone wrong, it's just moved, it's no longer needed, it's been postponed, whatever. But you suddenly have this couple of hours period to yourself to do whatever you want to do. Notice your initial reaction to that thought. Notice your initial reaction. And then imagine, because you've been on this workshop, But you think to yourself, aha, I wrote a list. What if I did one of those things that I said would feed or nourish me? What if I spent this couple of hours doing that? I could do this thing. Maybe name that thing. What could you spend those couple of hours doing? This time has been gifted back to you. What could you spend those couple of hours doing? And then notice for me what might happen next. So I've got some options for you. I can't read the whole thing on my screen because of the way where your faces are. So I'm just going to look at my notes. Would you definitely do it with zero resistance and love every second? Do you think you might do it but not enjoy it because you feel either guilty or uneasy or you can't settle? Might you say you'll do it, but somehow you just don't get to it? You keep thinking, I'll just do this first. I'll just do this and then I'll get to it. Or D, as soon as you think of doing that thing for yourself, your protector throws up a ton of resistance or other things you must do such that you know you won't do it. Can you pop in the chat for me which one of those it would be for you? Got a D. It's kind of a trick question in a way, except it's not, but in the sense that if we answer B, C, or D, then we're experiencing some kind of resistance, right? So the time is available, but we're experiencing some kind of resistance. The only instance that we're not experiencing resistance is if we can definitely do it. Enjoy every second, zero resistance. Yeah, Levette, I so understand that. I massively relate. So I want to explore resistance with you because this is where we can begin to understand what's driving the show here. Levette on the call has just talked about how chronic illness is the biggest form of resistance, and needing to use your energy for essential things and then nothing much is left. We totally, I totally understand that. And there's loads of other ways resistance can come up. Give me a second. There we go. So resistance will look like feeling guilty. As soon as you even think about doing that thing, start feeling guilty about it and write it off. It might show up as dismissing that thought, pushing it away. I can't even let myself entertain it. So before I've even fully formed that thought, I'm going to shut it down. And it might look like feeling unsafe to do that thing that we've said that we might do for ourselves. And that can take the form of the six Ps that we're familiar with in self-belief school. So my personal favorite when it comes to self-care is I'm super good at procrastinating. So a few years ago, my husband needed to take the kids to a family thing. It was in the build-up to Christmas. We didn't have any care for our animals. I didn't really need to be there. It was something that they needed to go to. It was okay if I missed it. And so we decided that I would stay at home. And once we made that decision, I was so super excited that I had 3 whole days all to myself in an empty house, apart from the animals who obviously weren't going to be too much of a demand. And I actually physically had a list. I had a whole list of all the things that I could do to take care of myself. I had like the self-care list. And I could not wait to get started. And then they left and I waved them off. And it all felt entirely different. And I went into big time procrastination. So what I told myself, the story I told myself was, I'm just gonna clean up. Going to make the house nice and clean and tidy so that I can really enjoy this time for myself. So I spent at least the first day and a half, possibly longer, cleaning the house from top to bottom, baked a Christmas cake, did some kind of fiddly thing with a blind in the kitchen, and could see the hours ticking away, ticking away. And only then did I get somewhere near this list. And by the time I came back, I'd barely made a dent in it, and I totally could have done it all. So there was some kind of belief driving the show that was saying to me, it's not safe to do this. Get yourself busy. Get yourself busy. Avoid it. Some kind of perfectionism at play there as well, right? I'll just make sure everything's perfect and then I'll be able to give myself what I need. Yeah. It might also look like people pleasing. Without even considering doing those things for ourselves, we focus on the needs and the preferences of other people, even when they're not asking us to. You know, if we're a martyr, if our protector is showing up as the martyr, then we are very watchful of what everybody else's needs are, and we're making sure that we're taking care of those first. Yeah. We might notice that it's showing up, the resistance is showing up, improving ourselves. We're almost waiting for somebody to give us some kind of permission slip. So I worked with a client last year, and one of the things she told me early on in us working together was, the thing is, it would all be okay if my husband would just say to me, you've done enough. Go and run yourself a bath, have a break. She said, look, you know, he's really supportive of me taking what I need. You know, he really wants me to feel better in myself as well. And I've said to him, I could really do with your help. I could really do with you saying to me, okay, that's enough. Go and do this for yourself. Can you see how it's really common that we want to outsource that permission slip? We're in that proving ourselves pattern when we're waiting for somebody else to tell us. And we had to sit with that and unpick that for her. What was stopping her giving herself that permission slip? Because the truth is, even if this is somebody that loves you dearly and absolutely wants the very best for you, the chances are they're not going to remember to give you that permission slip at the time that you need it. The chances are, they're also running all these programs of resistance and are busy with their own thoughts, and they're not the person to put in charge of you taking what you need. Yeah, so we needed to work with that around how she could give herself that permission slip. So, yeah, perfectionism, it can show up in, I'll do all these things on my list, and only when I've done all those things can I get to that thing. But I'll tell myself I'm going to do it in just a moment. But I've got to do all this stuff perfectly first. It can show up as paralysis. So another client that I worked with, she came to her call really fed up. She told me I really thought about what I needed, and I managed to communicate to my partner I would like them to take the kids out of the house for a morning because I had them all week. I really needed a break. Really needed some quiet alone time. And so I asked them, could you take the kids out for half the day? And they did that. It was all okay. But as soon as they'd left, I went into paralysis. I had no idea what to do with myself. I ended up, she said, sitting on the sofa watching Netflix, which I didn't want to watch, scrolling on my phone, literally watching the time disappear. I was totally in paralysis to begin with, and I went straight into what we call in this work passive behaviors. Yeah. And when we dug into it, she was really upset because when they came back, she felt like it was a complete waste of time. There was no benefit to it whatsoever. and she kind of wasted this pass, if you like. When we dug into it, what she realized is what she would have loved in that morning was to have gone out for a walk in the woods, because that's what she felt like on the day. She didn't know that in advance, but on the day she felt like she would have loved to go for a walk to the woods, but she felt like she couldn't do that because she asked them to leave the house. And so she couldn't go out, but she would have loved to go to the woods for a walk, come home to an empty house, put the kettle on, make herself a cup of tea in that lovely quiet, and sit down with her journal. But she wasn't able to get to any of it because of the resistance coming up. I'm sure that we can relate to lots of those. So why do we feel that resistance? What's informing the resistance? And of course, as we know with our work in Self-Belief School, it's the stories that we've gathered along the way. Yeah. It's those beliefs that have been gifted to us by the environments that we grew up in, by the things that people have told us or demonstrated to us. It's what we've taken on that we unconsciously believe about self-care, rest, leisure, creativity. So I wanted to ask you, what do you know about the programs that you've got running underneath the surface, about the stories that you've gathered along the way? I've got something I'm going to share with you in a moment, but I want to ask you first. So I have a couple of questions around it. First of all, how was self-care and rest modeled to you when you were growing up? What do you remember about that? What kinds of messages did you pick up from the people you lived with or lived around? And whilst lots of the stories that we have gathered around self-care, rest, leisure, much as they, lots of them are gathered in our past when we were little, when you were little you, we also pick up on the climate around us, right? So what do you perceive that people around you think about rest, self-care, downtime? What's the culture that you live amongst and work amongst and move amongst? If you've got anything that's come to you about what stories you're carrying, what stories you've been gifted along the way, and you feel happy to share them, then I'd love for you to pop them in the chat. I've got some that I want to share with you too. Things that I've heard in the last few months. Oh, that come up. I never saw the women in my life sit down. Oh, that one got me, because it was true for me too. Yeah. Anything other than constant doing was seen as lazy. When I voiced what I needed, I was told, "You're a mum now." My family pride themselves on being like machines, and I'm just not able to be like that, this person said. I was shamed for stopping. I was made to feel selfish. If I was seen to be still or I was reading, I was given a job. Wasn't allowed to be still. Everything that fed my soul was deemed a waste of time. Toxic productivity culture at work breeds judgment. Everyone's judging each other for this stuff. If we're seen to not be going at full pelt the whole time. I often had to take care of my parents. It wasn't safe to breathe out. The things I love are seen as weird or unacceptable. And I think what they boil down to for me, just got something in the chat. When I stare at myself, I get resentful or passive aggressive. Yeah, I literally get dirty looks because they don't engage in self-care and think badly of me for doing so. Yeah. And I think this is the thing that we need to acknowledge around self-care. Much as we have got these stories that we've gathered from younger us, we also are party to other people's stories that they carry that are very much alive in them right now. Yeah. And so what I think these, for some reason it won't click when I've got the chat open. What I think these boil down to is I'm not worthy of taking really good care of myself. I'm not allowed to need or have what I need. It's not safe to rest or listen to my body's cues. This is what I think lots of these stories around self-care and rest can boil down to. And so look, no wonder it feels hard for us to access what we need, right? If we're carrying this all of the time. Anytime we're reaching for something to take care of ourselves, we're actively working against these stories, and our protector is bound to throw up the resistance. Remember, our protector is always about, don't do that, you might hurt yourself. So I feel like we maybe need to go and have a shower and come back after looking at those, because they're pretty heavy and sticky and cloying. Like, it makes so much sense that this self-care thing feels really hard sometimes. And we, of course, need to go into a different energy, right? So we know in self-belief school that we don't find the solution from the same energy that created the problem. We need to go somewhere else. And the place we need to go with this is to invite in our healthy adult self and ask our favorite question, what else could be true? Yeah? What are the other things that we know to be true? What does our healthy self have to offer us here? So much of the time around this subject, our protector is in the driving seat. And we really need to be able to invite in our healthy adult self and get them driving. What can your healthy adult self offer? What are some helpful beliefs that you have? So when we start thinking about this, it really helps if we reach for those things that we know to be true, that have some truth in them for us. Because if we just simply try to replace those self-doubting stories, those stories that bring up the resistance, we try to replace them with something completely opposite, but it's not something that we feel able to claim and own just yet, then it's not really going to have any benefit, right? So what really helps is if we look for beliefs that we know to be true already. I wrote a few down of my own. I feel better when I go to bed early and have 7 to 8 hours sleep. For ages, I was ending up not going to bed as early as I wanted to, feeling really sleep deprived. And it was all about choices. I could have been making a different choice. I could have been letting myself finish the day sooner, right? And so that's something I know to be true. I feel so much better when I get better sleep. Yeah. Going outside every day helps me fill up. I feel calm when I create. I'm learning to cherish my body. That's one that can be really helpful if you can't fully own, I cherish my body. I'm learning to cherish my body. I'm working on understanding what's sustainable for me and what isn't. My day feels more manageable when I'm balancing my blood sugar. That's been a game changer for me. It's okay for me to say no. I want to look after this body that I'm in. Like, that's a total massive truth for me. I want to look after this body that I'm in. So I'm wondering, what can your healthy adult self offer to you? What do you know to be true? I'll give you a minute or so to note anything that comes to mind down in your notebook. What does your healthy adult self have to say about you taking really good care of you? Pop it in the chat if you feel happy to share. It's absolutely vital to have energy to live. Yeah, it's that simple, right? Really is that simple. Feel free to add anything else as we go. So, what if we can lean into these helpful beliefs? What if we can look at how we can express them in our days? I must be steadfast in caring for myself. It's not a luxury. Yeah. Having weathered a huge burnout, I 100% can own that one. Yeah. It's not a luxury. It's an absolute necessity to take care of myself. Yeah. Made a huge difference to how I do that day to day. So in a moment, I've got some suggestions of ways that we can work with really showing ourselves that these helpful beliefs are true, how we can express them in our days, how we can bring them to life, and how we can have them change our relationship with taking care of ourselves, and in doing so, change our relationship with ourselves, right? We can create such a different relationship with ourselves through going on a journey with increasing our access to all this stuff that feeds and nourishes us, or could do, if we could let it in. So I'll share that with you in a moment. First, I wanted to give you a few, another way to do more of a deep dive in this, if this is something that would be helpful for you, because I was really aware that in an hour, there's not masses that we can cover. And there is so much work that we can do around this. And so I wanted to offer a way that you could do a deep dive, if that's something that is calling to you. So we can look at calling in all of the resources of our healthy adult self. lover, the warrior, the sage. And what that looks like is sitting with each of those parts and being with the questions that they bring with them. And that looks like for the sovereign, what's my vision? What's my vision for me? How would I love to be taking care of myself? If I can project to a time in the future where I'm taking beautiful care of myself, what does that look like? What would it be like? How would you describe it? This is something that you could spend some time journaling with. You could take it for a walk, just think about it when you're in the shower. Bring it to a coaching call. Help me figure this out. We'd be so happy to do that. So, what's your sovereign asks, what's your vision? How would you love to be taking care of yourself? Your lover asks, what do I want to acknowledge and name? What needs do I want to acknowledge and name? Perhaps what needs am I not acknowledging? What needs am I ignoring? How do I feel now and how do I want to feel in my life? Our lover connects us to our needs and our emotions. And in doing so, helps us belong to ourselves. Our warrior asks us, where do I need to advocate for my needs? Where do I want to set my What do I need to advocate for? What do I need to wrap some boundaries around? And the sage asks us, what do I know are really healthy, nourishing, supportive choices for me? So that's expanding on that list we wrote at the beginning of the call. What do I know are really healthy, nourishing, and supportive choices for me? And what are my helpful beliefs that support me accessing those things? What do I know to be true? Now, having sat with these, I can tell you that if you answer all of these, then what you're going to come up with is some pretty beautiful manifesto for you taking care of you. Yeah? And the more time we can spend with this energy, with these reminders that we are allowed to need these things, that of course these things are going to feed and nourish us. Writing ourselves those permission slips, advocating for what we need, setting a boundary around things. We change our beliefs through doing. So leaning into the answers that come up for you with these things, and in small, doable ways, beginning to do things just that little bit differently in the direction of that vision of the well-rested, well-nourished, well-supported you. That's the way this stuff changes. So I wanted to close with inviting you, or maybe enticing you to do a bit of an experiment, because you know how we love experiments around here. I've got three options for you. You don't have to do any of them, but I would love it if you play along if one of them speaks to you, because we really do shift this stuff in the doing. So the first invitation I've got for you is, can you expand your daily and or weekly non-negotiables? You totally have non-negotiables already. Even if you don't think you do, you do. Your non-negotiables now might look different to how they've done in the past. And your non-negotiables can be added to in small ways over time. So my non-negotiables now are much better than they used to be. But I was thinking earlier about the days of when I had a newborn. My non-negotiable was probably brushing my teeth each day. It was debatable whether I'd managed to have a shower, right? So your non-negotiables are the things you do every single day, or some of them might be a weekly thing. But the things that you do without fail, that you don't even have to think about, they're not negotiable, they're not up for debate, they just happen. You almost do them unconsciously. Yeah. So for you, that might be, it might be brushing your teeth. You might brush your teeth every day. It might be taking a shower. It might be you make your bed. No shade if you don't make your bed each day, but that might be one that you have. It might be that you always have for one of mine, I always have a good protein breakfast, because I figured out that I feel so much better, and everything in the whole universe is so much better if my blood sugar is balanced. So that's one of my non-negotiables. I've been working on adding in a daily walk, and that's going pretty well. That's pretty much there with being non-negotiable. They can be really small things. They can be bigger things. It might be a weekly class that you love to get to, that by hook or by crook you get there. So the invitation here is, whatever your current non-negotiables are, and you're going to have to write yourself a list so that you know what they are, expand them by adding even one thing to your daily and or weekly non-negotiables. And just do that consistently for the rest of the month. Yeah, it's not about adding five things in one go, one thing at a time. Add one in. Once you've got that down to pat, if you want to add another one in, cool, experiment with that. Yeah. So that's one of the invitations. The second invitation, so this is inspired by Elizabeth Gilbert's book, Big Magic. In Big Magic, she talks about how, so Big Magic is all about creativity, but I'm using this in a broader sense. But Elizabeth Gilbert talks about how we always imagine that there is no time and space in our life. And yet the people out there in the world who go and have extramarital affairs, I'm not suggesting that you go and have an affair, but she talks about when people begin an affair, they somehow manage to carve out this time and space for it, right? They get really creative about how they carve out this time and space for it, because it becomes the only thing that's important in that moment, or one of the only things that's important. And so the invitation here is, think about a part of you that really needs feeding. Maybe you've got a creative part that's not getting expressed, that's not getting any time and space to play. Maybe there's some other part of you. There's a part of you that loves to be outside, or there's a part of you that really loves to be in the company of other women, or other in nourishing places, doing nourishing things, whatever it is. The invitation here is, what if you were to have a delicious fling with that part of you? What if you were to take yourself out on little dates, or arrange times, like little assignations with that part of you? What if you made space for it as if it was this delicious thing in your life that you couldn't get enough of? So that's invitation number two. And the third is, can you show yourself? Can you choose one of those helpful beliefs that came to mind? Borrow one of mine if you want to, if that feels true for you. Take one of your helpful beliefs and show yourself in really small, frequent, doable ways how true it is. And that might include setting some kind of boundary. Yeah. So I'm forming one around this myself. I've got something going on with my phone use that's keeping me away from some of the things that I know feed and nourish me. I end up doing this whole watchful thing, because a lot of my work, a lot of my communication and connections happen through my phone, I end up kind of almost babysitting it. So there's something around setting some, I'm going to get clearer about this when I journal on it tomorrow, but setting some real strong boundaries around how much time I'm spending on my phone, and therefore how much space there is available, not just to the stuff that I want to do that nourishes me, but to the, even the thought process. You know, if we don't make any space at all, then we can't even think about that thing that we want to do for ourselves. And then the day's gone, right? So those are the three invitations. I wonder if any of them speak to you. If you want to take ownership of one of them and share what you're going to do, then please pop it in the chat. I'd be so willing to witness that for you. Yeah, I hope you have fun with them. Like all of the experiments we work with in Self-Belief School, it's really about just letting them be an experiment, just seeing how it feels to play with this, just seeing what comes up. No pass or fail. No, well, I tried that for a couple of days and it didn't work, so I ditched it. Just, can I just be with this? Can I just see? Oh, I haven't done anything for a few days. I tried to add that extra thing to my non-negotiables. I haven't done it. Cool. So what about trying it again today? We don't need to get all up in our faces about how well we're doing it. We don't need to judge it. Let's just play with it. Let's just treat it like a wonderful experiment and see if it makes any difference to how we're feeling. Yeah. Or you can totally create your own. You can totally choose your own adventure. All right. I'm mindful of the time. So to close, I just wanted to bring us back to our tree. So there's something doing the rounds on social media at the moment that you might have seen, and it speaks of an experiment that some scientists did with a bunch of beautiful giant redwood trees, right? They injected them with something akin to adrenaline to stop them going into their wintering hibernation period, right? So it was, the idea was that it was going to keep them in perpetual spring. They wanted to see what would happen. So we know that trees go into hibernation over the winter because they've got all the important processes they need to do in that hibernation time. It's what enables them to produce their leaves and blossom and fruit the next year. So what happened when they artificially prevented them going into their wintering? So the trees couldn't sustain it for that long. They seemed okay for a while, but pretty quickly they started to struggle. And eventually they withered away completely. Just by keeping these trees out of their natural process of rest, hibernation, these processes of what's essentially self-care going on under the surface. This tree couldn't sustain it, right? So we're living, breathing too. We're wondrous living, breathing things. And yet, as wondrous as we are, we can't sustain that outward giving energy of spring all of the time. We need our version of wintering moments, of hibernation moments, of whatever needs to happen under the surface to keep those roots strong and fed and nourished so that we can be out there waving our leaves around, thriving in the world. So I wanted to leave that with you. All right, loves. So I hope that this has been a helpful thing to explore together. I'm wishing you so much luck with your experiments. I'd love to hear how you get on. Please feel free to bring those to the coaching calls if you want some support with them, or if we've brought something up here which has really sparked something for you and you want to dig into it more, if you want to understand better what's going on for you, then we are so willing to hold that for you. And please feel free to share back how you get on with your experiments. We'd love to know. And anybody watching the recording too, same goes. All right, thank you for your comments there. Lovely. So I'm wishing you well with all of this. It's been really fun digging into it with you. Totally my favourite subject. Totally my favourite thing to see things shifting for people. And I just want to offer, I've been on a journey with this myself for quite some years now. And I've both got some really good movement, and I'm really happy about that. And I really cherish that I've been able to do that. And I also know that it's a constant work in progress. So don't expect perfection around this. Let it be the messy, imperfect journey, especially when you've got loads of commitments and responsibilities and you've got chronic illness stuff going on. Yeah. Let this be your version of a journey that takes you to a more nourished, resourced, sustained version of you. All right. Thanks for being here with me. Thanks for your shares. Thanks for your presence. And I will look forward to catching up with you soon. All right, loves. Bye bye. Take care.